Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. I'm going to be talking today about micro cheating. Now you may be wondering, what is micro cheating? Well, I'm definitely going to get into that. But as a quick intro, it's really sexting, texting, other people outside of the relationship, flirting, contact with exes that you still haven't gotten over, things like that. So we're going to be going into this and then we're going to be looking at how to heal from it, how to recover the relationship from it, and how to keep your relationship alive and well. So almost daily, I support people who tell me, I've cheated on my husband and I need to save the marriage, Nicola. Or I have found my wife sexting another man. What do I do? When I discuss this with couples further, I often find that there's normally a huge difference between what one person sees as cheating compared to the other. No one can deny having sex with someone outside of the marriage if you did not agree to an open marriage is cheating, right? And even then, if you didn't agree to that sexual partner, it can be cheating. However, more complicated is areas such as sexting, texting, flirting, porn. Some people count as cheating, others don't. And there is also being in contact with an ex-partner. Is that acceptable in your relationship? And sometimes people, you know, they'll go out and go on holiday with their ex, and others, they really do not want their partner to have any contact whatsoever. Personally, my take, if you would not do it when the other person is there, or you're hiding or lying about it, then it's kind of cheating and trust is broken. And whether you label it as cheating or not, if trust is broken, that causes damage to the relationship, short-term and long-term. This is why today I decided to cover this micro-cheating topic and what to do if your partner has micro-cheated on you. And I will say, actually, I don't really like the word micro because it kind of makes cheating seem that it's a small thing. And for those that have gone through it, actually, it's one of the most painful, hurtful things I've ever gone through. Not only the loss of trust, smashed dreams and hopes for how they saw their partner, maybe that pedestal that they've fallen off, or you know, that can all change. And then the self-attacking that can happen after an affair. People wondering, am I not good enough? Am I not sexual enough? Am I overweight? Am I this? Am I that? And this can then really affect someone's self-esteem, and self-esteem affects all areas of our life then. So it can have a massive, massive impact. That's why I'm covering it. So micro-cheating is a popular term, which is why I decided to use it in this episode. And it's basically where it's called smaller forms of infidelity. Things that on a larger scale or over a long period of time would be considered full-blown cheating. But if it's like a one-off incident, some people see that as, oh, that's just micro-cheating. These small things can have a huge emotional and even physical impact on your relationship. And harmless, friendly flirting, is it really harmless? So that can be an example. It can be speaking to members of the opposite sex on social media. Of course, right now we're on social media more and more than ever these days. And, you know, are your messages appropriate? Are they looking to add people that are outside of the relationship? You're trying to strike up a friendship with an attractive man, attractive woman, that kind of thing. And then, as I mentioned, keeping in touch with an ex that you're still connected to, that you still want to get reassurance from, attention from, that kind of thing. So this is where problems begin to show and why the word cheating is part of this term. If you're spending more time with somebody of the opposite sex other than your partner, or if you find yourself thinking about someone else more than your partner, or if you find yourself texting and spending all your time on the phone messaging someone else, then the relationship is going to suffer. Whether you call that cheating or not, your attention, your focus, your energy, that love energy that I talk about, which is so powerful, you can awaken your love energy. And if your energy is with somebody else, your thoughts is with somebody else, then it's going to be harder to have a great relationship. And often, I will say that it does often start out so innocently in all of the cases nearly that I've worked with. And that is literally thousands now. Unfortunately, cheating is the main reason that people come and see me, around about 80-85%. So yeah, it's a really big number, and a lot of couples feel stuck. How do I heal? How do we make the relationship great? How do we rebuild trust? How do we stop asking the same questions? How can I feel more peace? How can I stop checking their phone? All these kind of things come up. And the more we become detached, the easier it becomes to cheat. And actually, a lot of people that do cheat, they have made any different kind of justification in their mind. You know, it's amazing what the mind can come up to when it wants you to indulge in that behavior. Just like drinking or eating chocolate, and I mean drinking, like drinking wine and chocolate. Let's say you've agreed to yourself that you're going to go on a healthy kick, and then all of a sudden that beer, that wine, that chocolate, your mind just comes up with like all these excuses and all these reasons why you deserve it, why you need it, why it's better to change later. And same with cheating, the mind just comes up with all these excuses. Why to carry on, why to stop later. And of course, this creates that continued cycle when it's damaging the very thing that you really love and cherish, which is your relationship, hopefully. And if you don't right now, then that's definitely something to be working towards, getting into those actions to make your relationship more loving and special. Because any kind of cheating leads to heartbreak, unfortunately. And as we're now living in that time where we're spending more time on technology in all aspects of our lives, from professional situations to relaxing at home or socializing with friends and family, technology has made it easier for us to feel closer to our loved ones. However, this also makes it much easier to be and take part in micro cheating, as there are more ways to keep conversations hidden, or we can be in under that false pretense that actually these are harmless because they are just cyber messages. This is just a bit of time on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. While some of these behaviors may not seem like a cause of concern initially and may start out innocently, it is when those lines are blurred that problems can start to arise. This is where the term micro-cheating comes into play. Maybe you're listening to this wondering, how do I know if I'm micro-cheating? So I'm going to share a few of the most common examples. And I want you to remember that every relationship needs to have its own boundaries. Every relationship is different. You've got to decide what actions are acceptable in your relationship and what actions aren't acceptable. What is considered cheating to you and to your partner? Discuss this, align on this. It's very important. I do a lot of pre-marriage counselling actually now. And you know, this is something that we discuss, because often couples, they get married, they have a great honeymoon, then they get into the relationship and things come up. They start to drift for one reason or another. Work takes over, or they have a baby, and that obviously creates a whole lot of change. So the relationship changes, and they haven't discussed this. And then one person thinks it's just a bit of fun or a way to waste the time away, but relieve a bit of boredom. And the other one is absolutely devastated, on the floor in tears over it. So, yeah. And of course, then there's couples that are like, yeah, we have an open relationship. There definitely needs to be rules around that as well. So here are the most common examples of micro-cheating. Flirting with someone other than your partner. Paying more attention to the clothes that you wear or how you look when you're around a certain someone. And wanting somebody to want you. Doing whatever you can to get them to want you. Sending unnecessary and friendly emails or texts to someone. So being over the top, being extra friendly, going out of your way to build a relationship when there's not necessarily a need. Lying to your other half about who you're spending time with or who you're messaging and who you're talking to. Unnecessarily complimenting somebody. So, of course, if it's a genuine compliment, but sometimes I've had it where men have been telling all these other women that they're really hot and looking sexy. And that's very, it was very painful for his wife to read these. Signing up to dating apps behind your partner's back for obvious reasons. Massage parlors with inappropriate endings. Maybe I shouldn't say that because that sounds like I'm really judging. But I've seen it really cause a lot of pain. So I speak from my own experience there where trips to massage parlors where the ladies are offering extra services, in my opinion, is cheating. And that's up to you whether you see that as cheating in your relationship. The next one is speaking to members of the opposite sex on social media apps when there's no real need to. So fine if you're talking to a work colleague about a work thing, but why would you need to be on social media, you know? And the next one is sending gifts, spending money from someone in more than a friendly way. Hiding or deleting conversations from your partner. Allowing your boss or member of your work to cross into your personal life too much. And again, you need to define those boundaries. I had one couple where the husband wasn't happy because the boss had told his wife that he really had feelings for her. And then he was calling her on the weekends and evenings, and the husband was really unhappy about it and wanted his wife to set those boundaries. So now I've explained what constitutes micro-cheating. Maybe you have other examples. And I want to touch now on the reasons why people find themselves in this position. Although there is a difference between full-blown infidelity and micro-cheating, it is so important to remember that both can cause real problems in any relationship. More often than not, when someone is taking part in smaller activities that are considered the lesser damaging than full-on cheating, it is still a form of betrayal and can hurt the other person. So this is why I'm going to share with you the reasons why a person may commit micro-cheating. Is it common for people to believe that if someone is micro-cheating, then they are bored or they are no longer into their partner? However, a lot of research indicates that micro-cheating does indeed start off as something innocent. It may be an innocent interaction with a colleague or getting a bit of extra attention on social media. But over the time, the level of excitement or buzz increases with each interaction or extra bit of attention you give or receive. Soon it becomes hard to identify the safe zone of being friendly and being flirtatious. It is also extremely easy to micro-cheat when you are stressed or struggling in your current relationship. I've worked with clients who turn to social media or dating apps with no intentions of doing anything serious, but need to distract themselves from their relationship, financial problems, or work problems. Low self-esteem comes up all the time when micro-cheating has come up. A lack of self-confidence can lead to needing attention and validation from outside. Sometimes men and women have admitted to me that they wanted to test and see if they are still attractive, see if they are still able to get men and women interested in them. And then I've had many men and women blame alcohol or drugs that led them to start flirting beyond what they would normally do. Lastly, one of the most common reasons for micro-cheating is the element of passion. More often than not, we tend to get extremely comfortable in our relationships And this may mean the passion can fizzle out. If you're not taking the actions to keep that passion alive, then the relationship can start to deteriorate. Although both partners are so deeply in love, one may miss that excitement of something new and getting to know someone deeper, and may turn to a colleague, a friend, to talk to someone at that deeper level, trying to get to know somebody on social media to fulfill that excitement without physically cheating. So these are just possible reasons. And of course, there are many other reasons why it can occur. And that's something that I often explore with people individually. So if you're stuck on this, do your research. Consider those points I've mentioned. Consider, where is this coming from? What does it give me? Is there anything missing? What is attractive about this action? So now I'm going to share what to do if your husband or wife has cheated on you. Communicate and take action. Sounds simple, right? Communicate and take action. Communication is so important in any relationship. When a person has micro-cheated, it is more evident than ever that the couple need to communicate better. The partner feeling betrayed will need to understand why their partner has been micro-cheating, what has happened, and what they will do to protect the relationship now and in the future, before thinking about moving forward and trying to heal themselves and the relationship. It makes sense. We all want to feel safe and secure in our relationships. So the other person has to help that person that's betrayed to feel safe and secure right now and in the future. When both partners can discuss why they think the micro-cheating has occurred, it can make it easier to figure out a solution together, including identifying any gaps or issues in the relationship. And sometimes there are none. I will say that. Sometimes there aren't any gaps in the relationship. It can be the pull of something new and shiny and exciting rather than the push of something wrong, if that makes sense. Sometimes people don't know why, and often they come to me for help for that. As I mentioned, they really want to know why so that they can give their partner and themselves comfort that they won't engage in the same behaviour. And of course, it's very crucial for the person who has micro-cheated to be really open, to be really consistent with the actions that you agree upon, and to allow questions to come, to be patient with the questioning that may or may not come after. I usually take couples through a rebuilding connection, trust, and passion program full of positive, forward-focused actions. Sometimes couples get stuck talking it over too much with no positive steps forward. Trust is key in all intimate relationships. Discussing steps for this is essential. Even if the person who has been micro-cheating sees it as harmless, trust in the relationship will be damaged. Unless you both feel it's harmless, in which case you probably wouldn't be listening to this episode. So regardless of the reasons why micro-cheating occurred, or what type and for how long, do focus on rebuilding the trust and connection. And if you've been cheated on and you find that your partner is not sensitive to your needs and is not understanding your pain as a result of his or her micro-cheating, it's time for you to decide what your next steps are. Whether that's seeking professional relationship counselling, whether that's taking steps to heal and release resentment, to become closer, and maybe agreeing that, okay, we don't see this the same, and accepting that, if you're able to accept that. And then for some people, maybe it's deciding to move away from the current relationship. And lastly, I just want to mention about escape hatches. So there's situations where a relationship could be breaking down and one or both of the partners start to seek comfort or happiness in others as an escape. And this is unhealthy for the relationship if you do want the relationship to work. It can do so much more damage to your soul as well. Lying, living a double life, finding your happiness outside of the relationship, focusing, like I mentioned, your love energy outside. And often this can be where a couple aren't being honest with one another. And it doesn't feel good. to be unauthentic. So that's why it can damage ourselves by doing that. And that's where micro-cheating can be used as an escape hatch to fill the void in a distant relationship. And it's having the courage to address any distance. As I mentioned, what counts as micro-cheating is definitely something that varies from relationship to relationship. So it's definitely beneficial to have these kind of discussions throughout your relationship to understand what the emotional, physical, and social boundaries are to one another. This helps to prevent people from misunderstanding what behaviour is okay and what behaviour isn't. Definitely being transparent about keeping in touch with exes, mentioning to each other if a person is flirting with you, sharing is caring. So how do you create more passion after discussing cheating? How do you get back that spark? Well, normally I take couples through this in a 1 or 2 month program, but let me just give you 3 things to focus on to leave you with today. So the first one is do some new activities together. Do something new. You know, the attraction of a new relationship, the attraction of cheating is because it's new. So do something new. Do something you haven't done before together, whether that's inside the house, outside the house. Do some different things together. Engage in interesting topics of conversation. So often communication can become a bit routine, like our lives. Keep it interesting and flowing. That's really important to have meaningful conversations. More often we can end up only talking about things like dinner, bills, children, and family arrangements, which isn't exciting. Whereas in a new relationship or in a new flirting relationship, it's often about dreams and hopes and expectations and thoughts and feelings and sex, which is my last point. No matter how easy or uncomfortable it is for you to talk about your sex life. What do you love? What don't you like? How is your sex life going? Would you like more? Would you like less? Is it the right style for you? And by that I mean, is it too rough? Is it too gentle? Is it wild? Is it predictable? Would you like it more unpredictable? Share your fantasies and any other ways that you can think other than these 3 points to really bring back that spark and passion. Because when you do that, you're going to feel more alive. If we do the same routine in our job, we do the same routine in our exercise for years and years and years and years, decades and decades, of course, we're going to get really bored. So the relationship, do new things, try new things, experiment, have fun. So I just wanted to share what I'm doing right now to support more people to get through these difficult times. So I have a relationship tips and advice group. It's basically where you can ask me questions daily. I'm in there. I do a live lunch and learn where I share on a topic in more detail. And you can join me live and ask questions there on the spot. You can also private message me any questions or things you're struggling with, and I can post an anonymous post so that the group can answer your questions. I'm also going to be asking you some questions so I can get clearer on what kind of content you want for this podcast and my YouTube channel. And in the group, there is also not only a loving support from other people, learning from the wisdom of other people that are going through relationship struggles or have come out the other side. You also get meditations in there and some other case studies from other people that have been where you are and have successfully saved their marriage, got through an affair, healed themselves, created a new life, and feel happier and better. So you can join my relationship groups. All you need to do is search Facebook, Relationship Tips and Advice, Nicola Beer, and it will come up. And if you like to dance, if you like to meditate, I've also got another Facebook group called Banana Dance Party. And this is where I teach my dance therapy training. And basically it is a live class once a week where we all dance together. And a different video of a dance class that I create normally around 4 or 5 times a week. And you can just watch this at your own pace. It's freestyle dancing. It's an opportunity to let go of stress, welcome in happiness, abundance, and really to raise your vibration, because to have more love in our life, to feel better, to release anxiety and worry and any uncomfortable feelings, we need to shake the body, we need to move the body, we need to get rid of those stuck emotions, stuck energies. And also it's great for all the family. Children can join in. Grab your husband, wife, mother, father, if you're allowed to see them at the moment, and bring them into the dance party as well. So those are on Facebook. All you need to do is either search Relationship Tips and Advice with Nicola Beer for the relationship one, or Vinana Dance Party for the other, and the links are along with this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day or evening wherever you are. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.